Tonight, the message, dare to be dedicated. The word dedicated came out of Luke's conversation, Pastor Luke, this morning, and it just went off yesterday and today, about how we're going to do anything in life, you're going to have to be dedicated to it. Now listen to what I'm going to say. I don't care who you are, what business you're in, you'll never be successful until you're dedicated. I don't care how many children you have or how many times you take them to Disneyland and feed them or play in the park or go to their sports games. You'll never be successful until you're dedicated. I don't care who you are. You won't finish school. You won't do your job well. You won't become a good wife or a husband. You won't do anything until you're dedicated. And it's the exact same thing in a relationship with God. In order to be the person that God would have you to be and receive the blessings that God desires to give to you. Man, I tell you what, you got to be dedicated. And a lot of times we don't realize that that word dedication is a powerful word that means a lot to God. Sometimes you can find it in the scripture under the word consecration. We've talked about that before, but let's just use the simple word of dedication. In the Jewish feasts, one of the feasts were the Feast of Dedication. Once a year, it took place 9th month of the Jewish calendar on the 25th day. In case you didn't know that, the 9th month and 25th day of the Jewish calendar is December 25th. And what the dedication was an, I would have thought, was a reminder of the people about their dedication every year towards the things of the Lord. But it wasn't. It's really interesting. It was a dedication feast that all of Israel got together and had for a purpose. And it was because the temple was cleansed after the pollution of evil that had been in the temple. And it was a celebration of the temple being cleansed. And right after the temple was cleansed, then they started annually this celebration called the Feast, if you will, of Dedication. That was once a year. Now stop and think about it. You today, the similitude there, symbolically is saying something. The Old Testament, the New Testament. The New Testament is you're the temple. And when there is a consecration, a restoration, a healing, when the temple is cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, after the cleansing of the temple comes, if you will, dedication time. Consecration time. It's the way it is. If you're going to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, be born again, headed for heaven, you don't just stop, do nothing afterwards. You've got to be dedicated. I found that the level of dedication that you have and I have is measured by how responsive we are, of course, to the things of the Lord, like Luke was saying this morning. But also the level of dedication that we have brings forth the blessings of the Lord. If I wasn't dedicated to the Word of God, and Deborah wasn't dedicated to the Word of God, we would not have made it for 34 years and be on our 35th year right now and been happy during those 34, 35 years. I mean, staying married is one thing. Being happy and more in love after 35 years, now that's something to talk about. You say, well, what did she do? She did the Word. What did I do? I did the Word the very best I could. But if I didn't know what to do to apply it to the marriage, it wouldn't work. I was dedicated in order to have a great marriage. I'd had lousy marriages before, as you all know. I'd been married 3 times before I was 25 years old. Like, what's that all about? Failed 3 times. Got dumped 3 times. I wasn't about to look at marriage and say, wow, I'm pretty good at it. I didn't know what I was doing. The only way marriage is going to work is my dedication to the Word of God. And dedication to the Word of God brings the blessings of the Lord, which you heard speak this morning. Interesting. Dare to be dedicated. When dedication becomes real is what we're going to be talking about. There's some things in order for any dedication, whether it be towards your business or marriage, your job, your commitment, wife, husband, whatever it is, any dedication you're going to make. There are a few things that you just have to start out with in order for that dedication not to be just lip action, but to really be something that is real and produces the fruit of the Lord. These areas of our life, sometimes we overlook them. So I'm going to give you some insight. We're going to compartmentalize those thoughts, put them into 1, 2, and 3 so you can easily see them, and then start functioning in them yourself. Each one is going to start with one word, and then I'll explain what it means. When dedication becomes real, here's number one. The word follow is a great word, which means when you finally dedicated yourself to follow the living God and His ways. Not just somebody who says they're a Christian. Not just somebody who comes to church once in a while. Not just somebody who says bedtime prayers. And that's the extent of your relationship with God. Not just somebody who claims Jesus as their Savior, but someone who literally follows the Lord. And when you and I follow the Lord, and we are dedicated to the following of what? Follow means He's out in front. What He does and where He goes, I'm going. What He says, I'm doing. Just like Jesus says, when you see me, you see the Father. He was following the Father. They said, Jesus, show us the Father. When you hear my words, it's the words of the Father who sent me. Following is a great thing. I'm going to give you a little story about some tribes, if you will, that are about ready to go into the promised land. You remember the promised land, the Egyptians, the tribes of Israel came out, if you will, out of Egypt, and God was leading them to the promised land. Remember, He had the 10 spies that go out, the 12 spies that go out. 10 came back and with an evil report and turned all the heart of Israel so that none of them went into the promised land. There was only 2 that came back, Joshua and Caleb, with a good report, but nevertheless, they couldn't turn and sway the multitudes. So 40 years has to go by. Here's what happened. Any, if you will, adult male that was 20 years old and older had to die off for the next generation to come up and follow God into the promised land. Really fascinating. Now there's at this time, I'm going to take you there in the book of Numbers if you want to turn there because we're talking about following the Lord. You're going to be dedicated. You're going to have to be dedicated to following God. And there's this time when they're about ready to go into the promised land. And there's a couple of tribes. One is Reuben and one is Gad. And they are noted for their livestock. These guys are like ranchers. They've got a lot of livestock. And they see the land east of the Jordan. And they say, what in the world do we want to go over the Jordan for into the promised land? This is where we should be with all of our livestock. They'll be fed, they'll get fat, we'll get rich. This is wonderful. I'm sure Moses will understand. Now remember, Moses doesn't go into the promised land. He dies before he gets in. And Joshua takes him into the promised land. So obviously they go to Moses and Eleazar the priest. And they start to talk to Moses and Eleazar. And they say, look, you guys go into the promised land. We're going to stay on this side of the Jordan because there's grass for our animals. And they're going to, and if you really love us, you'll let us go. And you guys go. Moses flips out. He says, are you kidding? We're not going to battle without you. That's what you did last time, 40 years ago. Your fathers were some of those that turned the tribes and everybody had to die because you wouldn't follow the Lord then. Now you're not going to follow the Lord now. And if you don't follow the Lord now, you're going to have problems. And you're going to curse yourself. And they're just like stopped in their tracks. They really thought Moses would let them stay there. So they come up with this plan. And they say to Moses, Moses, all of our warriors, not just a few, all of our warriors will suit up for battle. We'll go across the Jordan with you into the promised land and we'll fight. Just leave our herds here and leave our shepherds here to watch the herds. And then after everybody's settled, we'll come back. And Moses says, listen, when everybody's settled in the land and the battles are over with and the Lord's done what he wants, then you can come back. And not until then can you come back to your families and your herds. Interesting. We're talking about following. And then Moses starts to talk to them about what their fathers did and didn't do. And he starts to tell them the story. And in telling them the story, he makes a statement that you and I need to see about. If you're going to really take your dedication and make it real, you're going to have to really make a commitment to follow the Lord. Now watch this. Watch this. Let's take a look. Numbers, if you will. And when you get to Numbers, go to the way back, the 32nd chapter. The 32nd chapter of Numbers. And we'll start in verse number 11. Remember, Moses is now talking to these guys who want to stay on the east of the Jordan and not go in for battle. And he's explaining to them about how it is. But the statement that I want to get to is what Moses says about Caleb and what Moses says about Joshua, who were those people who really wanted to go to the promised land 40 years earlier. Watch this. Surely none of the men who came up from Egypt, verse number 11. Surely none of the men that came up from Egypt, from 20 years old and above, shall see the land for which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. First thing you got to have to understand is you cannot follow God without wholly following God. This is not a follow God on Sunday and forget about him on Monday. Dedication and dedicated to the things of God, if you're going to follow God, is not something you just do once in a while or for a while. It means for the rest of your life. It's not like I could go to Deborah and say, you know what? I want you to know I'm dedicated to you for a month or two, or until you do things the way, as long as you do things the way I think you ought to do them. But the moment that you don't do things the way I like you to do them, I'm out of here. And when you're dedicated to follow God wholly. And that's one of the things that we don't see very often in the church. We'll follow God for a while, but we won't follow God to the end. Is anybody listening? And when you make a dedication of something, you are dedicated until God releases you from that dedication. Because they have not wholly followed me. But verse number 12 comes along. Watch this. Except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh and Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun. For they have wholly followed the Lord. You're talking about dedication. Dedication comes when you follow God completely, to even to the end. You know, a lot of times we're caught up in our own traps. Here's our trap. We get going, we get blessed, and we get so far, and then we stop with God. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. I have seen over the years of pastoring so many people who have come along and they have nothing. Get into God, start to get blessed, get a little bit, not even a lot, just a little bit of blessing, and then turn right back from their dedication. Turn right back to the, like the dog eating his vomit, right back to the pig in the trough, instead of going on until the end, going on to God. This is not a dedication for a little while. This is not a dedication when things are good. This is a dedication when things are good, bad, indifferent. Doesn't matter if there's giants in the land or not giants in the land. We've got to wholly follow God. And so many times, one of the traps of the devil is to get you comfortable, allow you to get comfortable, allow you to have enough so that you're comfortable instead of going as far as you need to go. And God wants us to finish this race. That we finish it in a good fight of faith and we finish with the joy of the Lord. We don't just come along or dedicated until things get good. Things are going to get good the closer you get to God. But guess what? That's not how you stop. That's the beginning of great things God wants to do for you. I can't tell you how many people in my life would come to me and give me a testimony. Pastor, I got saved about 6 months ago, and God's doing such amazing things. And I'll look at them, and here's my words. I'll say to them, it's just the beginning. The reason I say that is because I want them to get a picture. Listen, what God has done now that's even satisfying to you is not even anywhere near what God can do. Don't stop now. Keep on going. And that's wholly following God. There's so many people that come along and they follow God until they're fairly comfortable and then back off of God and change the plans, what got them fairly comfortable in the first place. Then you meet them down the road 5 or 6, 8, 10 years later and they're miserable, divorced. Their marriages don't work. Their kids aren't serving God. They just hate each other. They hate people. Their business is lousy and they're broke down, busted, and disgusted. And I want you to know something. God doesn't want you that way. And it all comes back to making a dedication to simply follow wholehearted. And when you follow, it's a commitment to the end. Come on, somebody. We're talking about when dedication becomes real. Number one, follow wholehearted to the end. Number two, listen to this. When dedication becomes real, here it is. I'm going to use one word, remove. You will never have a dedication to the end until you remove the obstacles that'll keep you from that dedication. Well, let me say it again. You don't like it, I can tell you. You will never have a dedication to the end until you remove the obstacles that'll keep you from the dedication. One more time. You will never have a dedication to the end until you remove the obstacles that'll keep you from that dedication. Because there's lots of stuff we live with in life we don't deal with. And what you don't deal with will rise its ugly head that's ungodly later on down the road and knock you off track to the place where you're mad at God and you give up on God. And that's why the church has such an amazing amount of turnovers, because people are stupid and don't realize that this is not just a commitment to follow God wholeheartedly. We've got to get rid of some of the problems that keep us from running this race. Is anybody listening? If you don't deal with the issues, the issues will deal with you. You ever seen a crabby old, grumpy old man? I mean, some of you have movies, grumpy old man movies, you know? And they're just crabby and as grumpy as can possibly be. The reason for it is little issues became big issues as you get older. Because you didn't deal with them. Some of you got old parents that are just, you know, just aggravated, ugly all the time, crabby, don't want you around, make comments that hurt your heart, do all that kind of, you know what I'm talking about. How'd they get that way? Issues that were little in their life when they were young were never dealt with by Jesus Christ. They just lived with them. You got to remove the obstacles that keep you from your dedication. In other words, you got to get to the place where you know how to handle the problems in your life. I was back there wanting to slap somebody. I was watching these people. I'm telling you, these are adults. They were messing around during the altar call. They were disturbing a 20 people radius. I'm telling you, I just wanted to walk down the aisle, look at them. I actually saw people get up in the middle of the altar call and try to talk to me. I am the wrong person to talk to in the middle of an altar. How many times you been in this church? You do not want to talk to me in the middle of an altar call. That's the most sacred time. You don't move. God wants to touch lives, people's eternal lives at stake, and you want to go into a conversation? See, it's like, and then God got a hold of my issue. My issue is I'm explosive. I don't know if it's, some people say, oh, it's righteous anger. I hope it is. To me, it feels like sin. Because I want to knock them out. You know what I mean? But I don't knock them out because I know how to deal with the issue. I may be a little mouthy. I may be in someone's face. Maybe they need to have somebody in their face. Maybe we need to have a tough pastor that says, man, we got lives at stake. This is not just a game. If you want a spiritual game, go back to the church you came from. They'll play the game with you. So you can bring your tithes and offerings as they sprinkle you with whatever and blow smoke all over you. So don't tell me that. But if you want to go on with God, this is a serious move of the Holy Spirit. Not of a man, of the Holy Spirit talking to the people. And sometimes I really believe inside of me, it's righteous. It's righteous anger like Jesus with a whip when he saw the people being distracted and being taken advantage of and people in the temple that were doing wrong. Jesus angered, didn't he? But he didn't sin. I didn't sin. Why? Because I got control of that issue in my life. Now, when I played professional baseball, that was different. I was 18 years old. You don't know this, but I was sent home because of my temper. There was a fight in the field. I was in the middle of the fight. I was up in the stands sometimes. People in the stands were pretty bad. You know, this was in the 60s. We had L.A. riots. My roommate was a black guy, Jimmy Owens. And I loved Jimmy, and Jimmy loved me. We were best friends. And the things that people would say, now we were playing ball in the South. It was like crazy, man. I had to go to a restaurant, get food for Jimmy, because they wouldn't let him in the restaurant. But they'd come and watch him and then call him names. Even take out a gun one time trying to shoot him, because he was black. Let me tell you something. When a fight broke out in the field, I went after those people. And man, I got sent home after 4 years. They said, look, we can't deal with you. But I had to learn. And I married this woman called Deborah. And she said, look, I'm not putting up with your temper. You got an ungodly temper. I said, I do? She said, yeah, you got an ungodly temper. You got to deal with it with the things of God. Because I'm not going to put up with that. I said, okay, show me how. She helped me to deal with it. Let me tell you something. I still get fired up. Thank God I get fired up. But I'm not in sin. I can get angry but not sin. That's what Jesus did. But I had to learn how to deal with the issue. If you have an issue that's keeping you from your dedication, you got to get rid of the obstacles. Is anybody listening? I'm going to take you to the Old Testament again. While you're already in the Old Testament, let me just take you to 2 Kings. Here's a king by the name of Josiah. A really good king, but he comes in, his family's all messed up, and he has to clean up their act. And so what he does is he comes in and he cleans up stuff. He becomes a good king over Judah. Now, for those of you who don't understand, when you read your Bible, it says Israel, sometimes it says Judah. It's all the children of Israel. There are two southern tribes, if you will, of Benjamin and Judah. They were the two southern tribes, and they're called Judah. They occasionally had a good king. The 10 northern tribes, if you will, never had any good king. They were called Israel. So here's a good king. His name is Josiah. He comes in and he cleans the house from his family and his relatives. Let me read it to you. It's so interesting for you to see. 2 Kings 23. When you get to 2 Kings 23, let's take a look at it together. Is anybody listening? We're talking about removing those obstacles that are in your path that'll keep you from doing what God would have you to do in your dedication. In 2 Kings 23, let's take a look at back to verse 24. Here's Josiah coming in, if you will, into his strength and his leadership. And verse number 24, it says, moreover, Josiah put away those who consulted mediums and spiritualists, the household gods and idols, and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, and so that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book. Wait a minute. You got to get this. Here's Josiah. Can I take it back to A again? Here's Josiah put away. In other words, he's getting rid of some stuff. Let me tell you something. Some of you guys in here and some of you gals in here got to start putting away some stuff in order for you to go to the next level with God. You say, how do I do that? You do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. God gave you the Holy Spirit. It gives you the power over the flesh, over your feelings, over your thinking, so you can do what God says. Secondly, you got to learn the Word of God so you know what's right and what isn't right. In other words, you'll think your feelings are right and instead of doing it. But listen to what he says. He puts away those things, consulting mediums and spiritualists and household gods and idols. They had all kinds of junk in their house. All the abominations that were seen in the land of Jerusalem. Now go to beef with me and watch this. That he, and I should have underlined, I should have highlighted this, that he might perform the words of the law. In other words, got to get rid of the stuff in order to do the things God would have you to do. You can't just babysit the stuff and expect it just to go away. God's word makes it in order to perform. Notice this, he might perform the word of the Lord, which was written in the books. And he says, and the priest found in the house of the Lord. Verse number 25. Now before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and he might follow according to the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. He was special. All he did was get rid of the stuff so he could do the things of God. Let me say it again. All he did in order to stay dedicated was get rid of the stuff so he could do the word of God. What's my job? Get rid of the stuff that keeps me from the word of God. The anger, the frustration, the guilt, whatever it might be, the anxiety, the doubting, the judging, the criticisms, whatever it might possibly be that you are dealing with. Whatever situation that was ungodly, contrary to the ways of God, so that you do the word of God, so you keep that dedication, because either you're going to get rid of that stuff or it's going to get rid of you. New Testament in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse number 1. And I'll just pop that up on the overhead for you, because it says, therefore, we also, since be surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So he comes along and he makes this statement, let us set it aside. We're going to have to get rid of this in order to run a race. You cannot run your race. You'll never have a depth of, listen, dedication until you get rid of some of the issues that keep you from the things of God. You're never going to have the things that keep you from the things of God and the stuff of God. You're going to have to make a choice. Just going to have to make a choice. There was a times when I had to make choices. I still to this day have to make a choice. Am I going to do God or am I going to do myself? Am I going to do it my way or do it God's way? It's the way it is. And I had to get rid of this stuff in order to do the word of God. So the wonderful word that we have there is a word called remove. And we're talking about when dedication becomes real. Number one, follow. Whole heart committed God. Don't just talk, but follow. Number two, in order to follow, we're going to have to remove those obstacles that keep us from our dedication. And here's the last one for tonight. Can I just give you one more quick one? Because we're talking about dare to be dedicated. And so we look at number three. Number three is really kind of cool. It's one of my favorites. Rejoice. Make your dedication your joy. I mean, if you're dedicated to your wife, you know what I found? I found myself nuts about her. I have said all my life, I love the woman. I love that woman. She, can I just tell you something? I said this to the other day to a young couple that were having trouble. I said, look, when his problems become your pleasure, your marriage will get in line. And I said, when her problems become your joy, something you love instead of something you criticize, your marriage becomes supernatural. All of a sudden, Jesus sees me and my problems, and he loves me. He doesn't agree with my problems, He's not in, you know, acceptance and approval of my problems, but he never stopped loving me. And I have to tell you, the Bible says that he was joyful when he looked at me on the cross, because the Bible says, Isaiah, that he saw us on the cross. And for that reason, he was joyful. And I want you to know, until you make the problems, trials and pressures, and especially the dedications, joyful. Now, let me say this to you. A lot of people make dedications and they think of the dedications as commitments of pain, something you're going through. I was telling Deborah the other day on a fast, I said, you get hungry. The neat thing about it is you never lose weight until you're hungry. Hunger pains are actually saying something to you. You know what they're saying? They're not saying I'm hungry. They're saying you're losing weight. Hunger pain says you're losing weight. You never lose weight until you're hungry. So what do? We nibble all day long trying to get rid of the hunger. Until you get to the place where you can rejoice in your dedication instead of making your dedication a problem, what happens is the dedication never comes to its fullness. And you and I have got to, when we make a dedication to God, see it as something good, not as something bad, something exciting, something to celebrate, something to be committed to, something to be alive over. Amen. That we take the frailties of our life and the frailties of other people's lives and we celebrate it, instead of judging it and criticizing it. We take our dedications, instead of looking at them and saying, darn it, I wish I didn't have to do this. We make our dedication to God as something, this is so important to me. This is something God's watching. This is something that will bless the Lord. Rejoicing. Wonderful subject, 2 Chronicles 15 chapter. There's this amazing king by the name of Asa. He's a reform of the king who takes place in Judah. He, like the other kings, have had bad families before him, but he does good. When the commitment that we make becomes a pleasure, it changes the whole commitment to easy instead of difficult. In 2 Chronicles, we see the life of Asa, if you will. Verse number 12 through 15. Verse 12 says it like this. Then they entered into a covenant. This is the people following Asa. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all of their heart and with all of their soul. Now, look back up at me. Isn't that a cool thing? They entered into a commitment. They entered into a dedication. They entered into a time of consecration to do something. Watch this. To seek the Lord God of their fathers. With all of their heart, with all their... Isn't that following? Isn't that getting rid of themselves? Making a commitment there? Now watch this. They're so committed at this. Here's what they said, verse 13. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. I mean, that's... You know, you come to this church and you don't serve God, we could take you outside and kill you. That's pretty bizarre. You know that, guys? Would you say that anybody made that kind of a statement is pretty radical? Sometimes we think people are radical. That's radical, man. In other words, you can come to this church, but when you screw up, that's it, man. We're hanging you from a tree outside. That's what it's all about. Those pepper trees got big limbs just to get you. When you come here, there's four or five people, no matter how rich you are, no matter how powerful, you're dead. And the reason for that, can I just say this? Because they knew the condition of the people brought everybody down. Listen to this. You talked about separation. The condition of the people brought everybody else down. If a bunch of them were allowed to keep messing around, they would pollute the rest of them and bring them all bad. And God was trying to make a statement. For us today, thank God he isn't there. Verse 14. And when they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. Now there's a commitment to dedication. It's amazing. Verse number 15. And all of Judah rejoiced at the oath. In other words, when they made a dedication of their life towards something, they rejoiced over the dedication. They didn't see it as a hardship or a pain in the butt. They saw it as something wonderful. And they rejoiced over the dedication of the oath. For they had sown with their hearts and sought him with their all of their soul. And he was found by them. And he was found by them. Listen to this. When people chase after God and they follow God with all of their heart and with all of their life, and they get rid of the issues that were once holding them back to be all that God, and they make a wholehearted commitment to God. Notice these words. And he was found. God was found by them. God was found by them. And the Lord gave them rest all around. I mean, if there's anything that we ought to learn about dedication, it's three things. We're here to follow God. Not man, not our flesh, but really seriously be dedicated in our following of God. With all of our heart, with all of our soul. Thank God, in the meantime, while we're learning how to do this, no one's dragging us out of the building and killing us in the courtyard. We don't need to do that. That's not what this is about. The second thing we're finding out is we're not only just following God, but we're a people, if we're going to be really dedicated to the Lord, we're going to have to be people who remove these obstacles that are in our life. You know those little things that come up that keep you from being all that God would have you to be. You can't live with them and go further with God, but you can remove them by the power of God that dwells on the inside of you. Holy Spirit, and by the word of the Lord. And thirdly, the dedication you make to God ought to be a point of rejoicing. In other words, I'm happy about this. This is good. This is a celebration. Take out the horns. I'm going to serve God with all of my heart. And you know what the Bible promises? You will find him, and he will bring peace in your life. And that's worth a dedication to the Lord. Come on, somebody. Isn't God good?